Umetzie daf nun vov to daf nun zayin amud aleph, ethics and commerce on a'a uvitul mekach. Very happy to welcome Mark Goldens from Los Angeles. Mark, I think you've been listening every day since we started the Matmonim. Mark was a Talmid when I was in Los Angeles already for a long time. The Rosh Yeshiva of Shderot, Rav Findel, was at us for Shabbos a few weeks ago, and he asked me whether, if there wasn't a physical presence, if you guys weren't here every morning, could I do the Matmonim for the hundreds of people in the Olam around the world? And I said, no, I don't think I would be able to sustain it, certainly not at this level, probably not at all. He smiled, he said, absolutely, I imagine that's the case. So Mark, it's important that you meet the people that make it possible. You sit there in comfort in Los Angeles and you listen to it in your own time. But these are the people every morning, they're here, and without them, you wouldn't be able to listen to the Matmonim. So you and I are both grateful to these people who are here every morning. So what we're looking at is exploring two aspects of this prohibition of onah. We've been speaking about onah for a while now. Onah is the exploitation of a partner in a transaction. And there are two facets to that prohibition of onah. The one is an isur Torah. The Torah says, thou shalt not. That's something you're not allowed to do. Second thing is, it can cause the cancellation of the deal. What we're looking at is the relationship between those two dinim, the prohibition and the commercial impact of the prohibition. So there's a moral impact, there's a Torah impact, you've transgressed, you need to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, and there's a physical, and there's a legal issue, the commercial transaction. So let's go through this and see and learn how from the Gemara how the Gemara goes about exploring that interface. And it's a beautiful sugya that we would need a lot of time for, as is often the case. But let's begin it. It starts with the posuk of onah. V'chitim kuru mem karla mitecha. If you sell an item to your friend in a sale, or kano miyale mitecha, or you acquire from your friend, al tonu ish et achiv. Do not exploit one man his brother. So there's a prohibition of Torah to exploit. Exploitation, we have learned, is to overcharge or underpay more than a sixth. And we've learned also the prohibition is even if it's less than a sixth. But if it's more than a sixth, you can cancel the sale. So there we see the two elements. There's an element of prohibition, don't exploit your friend. And there's another concept of, and if you have exploited your friend, he has the right to cancel the sale. Or in certain cases, to demand the value of the exploitation. So if it was worth 100 and you sold it for 110, he can demand the 10 back, according to some, only if it's a sixth more. Says our Mishnah, Eilu dvarim she'en lahem onah. Onah does not apply to everything. So for example, avadim v'ashtarot v'karkaot v'ekdeshot, there are things that onah does not apply to. Among them is karkaot, property, land. Minani mili asked the Gemara, the Tanu Rabbanan, v'chitim kuru, memkan la'amitecha, or kano miyad amitecha. In the Pasuk, we see that you're talking about something which is passed from hand to hand, that implies movable property. Davara nikne miyad liyad, yatsu kakao che'enan betaltenin. And therefore, you see that ona'a applies only to movable property, but not to immovable property. It's learned from Psukim. The Gemara learns this all out from the Psukim. And we've talked about a rational understanding of it, that because the property is a fixed supply, it'll never increase, and the demand does increase, therefore it's inevitable that eventually you'll get the money, even if you overpaid for a property, if you wait it out, you'll get the money. Not so with metaltalin. So Rava asks the question, Omar Rava, says Rava, Omar Rav Chassa said that Boy Rav Ami, that Rabbi Ami asked a question. These are his Rabbeim. Rava was a Talmud of Rav Chassa, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Ami. So he's going back two generations. He says, my Rebbe's Rebbe had a question that occupied his mind. What was it? Ona ein lahem bitul mekach yesh lahem or ein lahem. This which our Mishnah says, there's no ona'ah in fixed property. If you're selling land, the principle of ona'ah doesn't apply. Is that talking specifically about the prohibition or also about the rights to cancel the deal? Is it the commercial side as well, or is it just the religious side? Is it just the moral and ethical side? Amar Rav Nachman said, Hadar Amar Rav Chassa, I heard from Rav Chassa that he used to say later on that Pashit Rabbi Ami, that he taught that Rabbi Ami actually resolved this. And Rabbi Ami taught, Ona ein lahem, bitul mekach yesh lahem. Although there is no prohibition of Ona in the case of fixed property, there is the right to cancel the deal. That piece exists. Explains Rashi in the third Rashi on the source sheet. Yesh lahem or ein lahem. What is Rabbi Ami really asking? What's troubling him? Mi amrinan me'altonu hu de'imut. Do we say that property is excluded from the prohibition of altonu? We've learned the posuk. Posuk says don't exploit, but by karka there's no exploitation. V'holav bichlal onahu. And if we're dealing with property, there is no onah. Ela mekach ta'utu, but there could still be a mekach ta'ut. Mekach ta'ut is a different parasha. Mekach ta'ut means you misled me in the deal. That's not what I thought I was agreeing to. You sold me a property for a million. I assumed it was worth a million. I subsequently discover it's worth half a million, and you exploited me. Now, I understand there's no prohibition of exploitation because property will ultimately go up to that value. But it's not what I intended. That wasn't what I agreed to. I agreed to buy something at its true value. And therefore I want out of the deal. I want to cancel the contract. Or Dilma, kiven delav davar shebemidahu, or as Rava explained on the previous Omud, this is not something which is being sold by measure or weight. Veloy atya bidibure, and there was no deliberate misleading, then there's no mekachtot, kishar din onahu, then we treat it like other cases of onah. This is not about mekachtaut, this is not about misleading and doing the deal with false understanding and so on. So Rashi's explaining at a deeper level what the issue is. The method that they're using is called the chakira. Now, if you ask the average yeshiva bocher very often, where does the idea of a chakira come from? So the chakira means, let's consider in a particular halacha, it could have two underpinning principles. Is it this or is it that? And here's the difference between this and that, and here are proofs for this and that. And the yeshiva bocher would probably say it was with Chaim Brisker who started that method of learning, of making a chakira. And chakira is now a very yeshivish term. In the yeshivas, it's a term that's used all the time. To make a chakira. But here we see the idea of a chakira. Rashi uses it. And Rashi's using it to explain Rava, who's using it to explain his Rebbe's Rebbe, Rabbi Ami. So we're going back right to the time of the early Amoraim. And Rashi explains, what is the Sofik? Is the right to cancel a principle of Ona'ah? Does it stem from the prohibition? Or is it a principle of misleading in contract? Is it a law of contract or is it a law of Ona'ah? Is really what the issue is. If it's a law of ona'ah, then in land, there is no ona'ah. If there's no ona'ah, there's no right to cancel the deal. You're only allowed to cancel the deal if you were oppressed, if you were exploited. And by land, there's no exploitation because eventually the land has no upper limit to its value. It will always be worth what you paid for it sooner or later. So there's no exploitation. If there's no exploitation, there's no contract. There's no cancelling of contract. Or is it a din in mekach ta'ut? This is a law of contract. You gave false information. You misled your counterpart. And therefore, your counterpart has the right to undo it. Those are the two possibilities. Now, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh. We've got Rabbeinu Tam in our Tosfos. And we've got the Rosh. They hold that even in karka, you're allowed to cancel the contract. Even if I overcharged you for a property, you're entitled to cancel the contract when you discover. Have I transgressed the law of ona'ah? No. There's no law of ona'ah with karka. So why are you allowed to cancel the contract? Because you were misled. You had false information. You entered into the contract on the basis of flawed information. Which means that he holds that these are two separate laws. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh hold these are two separate laws. There's ona'ah and there's the right to cancel the contract. They're not connected. The Rif and the Rambam Paskin, that in land, you cannot cancel the contract, even if I've overcharged you. Because the right to cancel stems from the exploitation. And since there's no exploitation, there's no right to cancel. So we've got two worldviews, two schools of thought. The Rif and the Rambam on the one hand, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh on the other. And we'll see these two schools of thought go all the way down to the Halakha Psukha. And then in the sources, I bring the Tosfos and the Rif and the Rosh and so on, which we won't have time to go into now. The Tur. So let's now go to the Rosh's son. Okay, the son of the Rosh is the Tur who brings Halacha together. It's fine. We're talking about Rabbi Ami and Rav Chassa, and they're making a Chakira. Is it this or is it that? And Rashi explaining it. And then we've got Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh who go one way, and we've got the Rif and the Rambam who go the other way. Explains the Tur. Asur la Adam lohonot lechaviro ben bemekho ben bememkaro. You cannot exploit a person whether you're the buyer or the seller. And either the seller or the buyer can transgress this prohibition if it's bemezid. But there's no malchus. If a person did it, you don't get malchot. The Torah says an amazing thing. Because this is part of the prohibition of thou shalt not steal. What the Torah tells you when it says al tonu, it means even exploiting is theft. The fact is, there was an agreement. I agreed you to sell the golden to buy the golden Rolex. Have you got a golden Rolex in Los Angeles as well? How can you learn the matmonim without a golden Rolex? The golden, I agreed to sell you the golden Rolex for 10,000. It's only worth 8,000. So there's been on us, says the Torah. Even though we agreed, everything's by agreement. There's a contract signed. I have stolen. And I've got to return the theft. I've got to return what I've stolen. The Torah tells you that this is theft. Now that you know it's theft, you've got to return it because out of the dinim of returning theft. That's an unbelievable approach to the laws of Ona'ah. Now there's a difference between the Prisha and the Beis Yosef, who both explain the Tur, as to exactly what that means. Says the Prisha, Perush Shigamze Gzeilahu. The Prisha explains it as I just explained it. This is Gzeilah. The Torah teaches you that exploiting somebody in contract is theft. The Beis Yosef says, Perush Shedome Lelav Delo Tigzol. No, it's a separate law. Thou shalt not exploit. It's got nothing to do with Gzeilah. But just as in the case of Gzeilah, you can return it, and therefore there is no Malkut because there's another way to fix the problem. So by Ona'ah, there is no Malkut because there's another way to fix the problem. So the Prisha says that the Tur means Ona'ah is Gzeilah. Exploiting in contract is a form of theft. The Beis Yosef learns Ona'ah is a different set of laws. It's just in one way it's like theft, but it's not theft itself. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Elu dvarim she'en layem onah. These are the things that don't have onah. He passes like the Rambam. Avadim v'ashtarot v'akarkot, fixed property. Afilu machal shaveh elef bedinar. Even if it's worth 1,000 and you sold it for one. Or shaveh dinar be'elef, or it was worth one and you sold it for 1,000. Ein bahem onah. If it's land, there's no onah. You've got to use other mechanisms if you want to get out of the contract. You can't get out of the contract on the basis of on the basis of exploitation. Says the Ramo, the Yeshomrim, the Dafka ad Palga val Yotermi Palga. That's the law of the sixth of a sixth doesn't apply, which is the way the Rif learns it. Kigon Shemachar lo echad yoter mishnayim. If somebody sold it for double its value, havi onah, then there is onah. That's the Shita of the Tur and the Rosh. So again, the Tur and the Rosh hold, there is Ona'ah b'karkot. That means at a certain level, you can return, you can back out of the contract, whereas the Rif and the Rambam holds, you can never back out of the contract with karkot. So we see this difference of opinion going all the way down. A difference of opinion articulated by Rabbi Ami, as quoted by his Talmud Rav Chassa, as quoted by his Talmud Rava, as explained by Rashi, that is the issue. Is the issue of the contract, being able to back out of the contract, does that flow from Ona'ah, or does that flow from misinformation and a deal that was not intended in the first place? We've spoken about the Ne'er Lama'or before. My relative lives today in Tellstone, and the wonderful Sefer he's written on explaining the Baal HaMa'or and the Ramban on Milchamis. And in passing, he explains this Rashi and he explains the issue. And he brings, he starts us by saying, V'ra'ui lachkor, here you see that word, chakira. Gamkin, al shoresh hadin shel bitul mekach biyoter mikdei shi'ur ona'ah. What is the source, the root of the law that you can cancel the contract if the exploitation was more than a sixth? V'nireh lomar mitzad echad, one way to say it, is din bitul mekach b'lamal mishtut hu din mekach ta'ut ba'alma. This is laws of contract, nothing to do with ona'ah. If you've misled somebody more than a sixth, they went into the deal with wrong information and they can back out of the deal, nothing to do with ona'ah. And that's the way the Prisho learns. The other way of learning it is, de'ein bitul mekach hazeh mekach mikoach ta'ut v'chisaron dat. This is not about ta'ut and chisaron dat. This is a different set of laws. This is not contractual. The right to cancel the contract stems from ona'ah. And what is the principle of ona'ah that he articulates? Dehabitu mekach novea mehatzorech letaken ha'avla shel hamekach. There was a wrongdoing. There was an avla. There was an exploitation. There was a wrongdoing in the transaction. That has to be fixed. You can't carry on your life as was and just say, well, there was contractual agreement and there isn't an obekach and so on. No, this is part of ona'ah. You have to rectify it. You have to rectify it. And that's how the Beis Yosef learns, he says. That you have to give it back and so on. It's like lo tigzol in that you've got to give it back and therefore there's no malkot. But umashmadu lo alam hu lav acher. But it's a different prohibition. This is not gezeila. The Prisha learns in the Torah that the Torah comes to teach you contractual exploitation is theft. The Beis Yosef learns in the Torah contractual exploitation is not theft. It's a different law altogether. It's ona'ah. And the principle of ona'ah is you haven't stolen anything. It was contractually agreed, so it's not theft. And that's the issue. If I've contractually agreed, does that remove it from theft? I said I'm selling you the gold Rolex for $12,000. It's only worth $8,000. But I'm telling you it's $12,000. You do your homework. Buyer beware. You agree. You say, I'm happy to pay $12,000. Later on, you discover it was worth $8,000. At that point, what is going on? So this question, can you get out of it? Says, explains the Ne'er Lama'or. There was an avlo, I exploited you. And whether or not there was a contract, it's not theft. I didn't steal anything from you because there was a contract. We agreed, not theft. So why do I have to return the money or cancel the contract? Because there was an avlo. There was wrongdoing. And how can you come to Yom Kippur and ask for tshuva when you've got an avlo in your hand? You've got $4,000 that you earned dishonestly. You've got to fix that. That's what the idea is here. The importance of fixing the immorality of a transaction. Because we just go through business and we think there's legal contracts, there's agreements, but we don't think about the quality of the transaction. Transactions are not just about legal structures and about quantitative elements. There's a quality of a transaction. How much taro is there? I've told you, I think, before that whenever I used to come and visit Reb Meir Soloveitchik, I used to bring a donation for him, for his yeshiva, for his kollel. So that the time he spent with me, he would feel at least was worthwhile in that. At least he got some help for his yeshiva. And sometimes other people would give me money to give to him, and I would bring the money to him. And if I brought other people's money to him, he would grill me. Do you know the people who gave you this money? Yes, I know them. Do you know their business? Well, I know what business they're in. Is it possible that this money could have been earned dishonestly? Is it possible that there could be any avla in the money you're giving me for my yeshiva? Because if there is, I would rather not take it. And there were times when I couldn't answer for sure, and he refused the money, and there were times when I couldn't, and he happily accepted it. But there was a rigorous questioning about the quality of the money. We look at our bank accounts. How big is our bank account? How much? Is money coming in? Is money going out? We're always looking. We're always checking. That's great. A client of mine told me the other day, at any moment I can tell you exactly what to the cent, how much money is in all my bank accounts, business and personal. I can't imagine having so much time to be able to even know that kind of detail, but that's how it is. Fine, that's good. But what a Jew is watching as well in his bank account, he's got two accountants. He's got an accountant that watches the quantity, and he's got an accountant that watches the quality. Is there any avlo? Could there be any avlo? Not theft, not talking about theft. Everything's with agreements and contracts. But there could still be avlo. And if there's avlo, if there's corruption, if there's misleading, if there's anything that's not 100% clean in the money we've earned, we need to clean our assets. We need to clean our cash. We need to clean our money. We need to launder our money. That's what money laundering really means. Launder it of avlo. Get rid of the bad quality in the money to make sure that there's a purity of the money. That's why you cancel the deal. That's why you return the money. Explains the Beis Yosef's approach to the tour. This is not about theft. This is about ona'ah, of having to rectify that which was done wrong in the first place.